you're gonna be just fine. I'm your number one fan.
She just goes a little mad sometimes.
Have you checked the children?
How do you know my name? I didn't tell you my name.
Hang up.
I didn't tell them my name.
They're all a part of it. They're all parts, all of them.
Whatever you do, don't fall asleep.
I'm afraid!
Don't be afraid!
No. Be afraid.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to All Horror, a special episode, a two-part series of Ari Aster's films Hereditary and Midsommar. And joining me is someone you may remember from the first two episodes of the podcast upon our return, Jackie.
I go by many names. Jackie is one of them.
No, but seriously, hi.
Jackie is joining me to discuss Hereditary and Midsommar. And we will discuss them and break them down because Ari Aster, when I saw Midsommar, mind blown. And you'll hear more about our thoughts and how we each feel about Midsommar in the next episode. But yeah, so for this one, we're doing Hereditary. We're starting with Hereditary and then going to Midsommar.
Hereditary. You know, I just want to let you know that whenever I think of the name Hereditary, I think of The Inheritance.
The Inheritance?
Well, it like the Inheritance series with dragons and shit. I don't know why.
I've never even heard of that.
I had a...
Are you like, I read that?
I wanted to read them, but I knew better. I moved on in my life. No, but seriously, my pants aren't to my nipples, okay? My nipples are not shielded by my belt. Everyone should have nipple shields, though. I learned some shit from watching Xena, I think.
Xena was the shit.
Dude, but she, you know what? Her nipples are very guarded.
They were very guarded by, like, spiral nipple, metal nipple guards.
I feel like Madonna learned from her.
Probably.
Do you think Madonna really was just like, I need the ultimate nipple shield? Like,
she had make cones. It look.
But she could drill into That's the ground true. To escape any type of nipple danger. If she had the dual drills. Yeah, she got money. You know, she got money and famous off of that. And
I feel like that like concept should have been in Satanic Panic.
Just drilling into the ground with your tits.
Instead of a drill dough.
A drill dough? Aww. I mean, I think we all need a Droldo, though.
Who doesn't need a Droldo?
Okay, so if Droldo had a slogan, what would it be, Robin?
Fuck if I know.
Like, if you were listening to a commercial for Droldos?
I have no idea. I am not Don Draper. I am not a marketing person.
Excuse me? You're not a marketing person?
No, with slogans and the like.
Man, I'm thinking of one.
Well, okay, since we're doing Hereditary on this episode, what do you think Hereditary's actual slogan should have been?
God damn if I fucking know. I want to go into the incest world for some reason.
What?
We're just talking about Droldos, okay? Like, it's a weird transition. I'm not going to lie.
That was a weird flex, but okay.
Hey, I mean, kings and queens, a lot of them were incestuous. You can't really deny that.
It's true, but what is that?
Inheritance. Everything. Like, inheritance is usually, like, you know, like, lineage.
Okay.
What stays in the family? Stays in the family? I don't know. I can't think of one.
I can't either. But for this episode, we are going to discuss it. So, I have now seen Hereditary twice. And Jackie just saw it for the first time. So, like, literally within the last couple minutes. So, we have some fresh thoughts on Hereditary. What did you think? Jackie, let's just first start, like, I mean, it's been out for a while, so obviously this discussion is going to be full of spoilers. So, what is your first impression as the credits rolled?
For the beginning?
All of it. The credits rolled. You just finished it. What did you feel?
I felt it was a good, like, it was as if I smoked weed and I had no idea that was going to creep up on me. Like, I smoked way too much fucking weed and it's creeping up. You know bad shit's about to happen. You're going into a bad trip. That's kind of how it felt like. Like, I felt like I knew what I was getting into and then I just was, like, taken back and now I can't drive home. And I'm stuck at a bad friend's house. Like, I didn't even want to talk to them kind of friend, but you only showed up to smoke their weed and then try to get home. That's kind of how it feels.
Been there.
We've all been there, done that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. If you've lived your life, it's a fact.
Yeah.
But I felt like the buildup was great. Like, it wasn't necessarily like shit was going down. Like, I love the gore that was in it. I love the decapitation. I felt like
her sawing off her own head.
No, I'm not even gonna get to that. What I mean is the daughter, like the little girl getting decapitated.
Oh yeah.
All I could think of is how my mother growing up told me, don't put your arms or anything out the window or you're gonna lose an extremity. I don't even know. I had this science teacher in seventh grade and he taught life science. He was well overqualified. He was actually a doctor.
Oh wow.
And I don't know why he got into teaching.
Probably not by choice.
He worked in a morgue, actually. That's what he did for his, what do you call it? Like, not intern for a doctor, but...
Residency?
Yeah, that's what he did. He worked in a mortuary. Like, he worked on dead bodies and stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, he was on a trip. Okay, he was on a trip, and he was on a bus, and this woman had her arm halfway out the bus. It was like one of those where the windows go down or whatever. It was a tour bus, and it shaved by a wall.
Oh, no.
And it took her entire arm just like that, clean off. And so they stopped the bus. Of course, they stopped the motherfucking bus. This lady is like, motherfucking limb. I can't imagine. I wonder if she like sprayed it on people. Like,
probably.
Although that's hardcore. Anyway, the spray was probably incredible.
Yeah.
I mean.
10 out of 10.
Fucking Kool-Aid man got shot. But seriously, so my teacher at the time was like, okay, so I was an idiot, but I still ran across the street to the store, got a cooler, filled it up with ice to put her arm in it.
So they could sew it back on?
Yeah.
Were they able to?
Yes. And the ambulance somehow got there before him. So congratulations as first responders. They legit were the first people there before he came back from the store.
Wow.
So he was trying to preserve her arm. But you can't do that with a head. I just want to let everyone know, you can't just, like, get an ice cooler and put your head in it. I mean, you're gone, dude.
I don't have any cool stories like that. My, fourth grade teacher was missing all of her fingers except for her pinky finger. And I was like, what the fuck? As a kid. And she was so, her name was Miss Sexton. And she was so sweet. She had white hair, even though she was, like, in her 60s. Mm-hmm. Like, solid white hair, bangs. Like, she was so sweet. And apparently, she and her husband went out to, like, go boating.
Mm-hmm.
And they were lowering this little boat into the water. And she had the rope wrapped around, like, for the mooring or anchor or whatever, wrapped around her fingers. And it literally, like, popped, pulled them all off.
That's rough.
Yeah.
Not
nearly as cool of a story.
I've gotten, like, rug burn and rope burn and stuff. Like, you know, have you ever, like, climbed rope and you, like, think that you're cool and you can just slide on down?
I've never been cool enough to climb a rope. I've never had, like, a desire, so...
Well, I mean, like, hey, we all work different jobs, Robin, and you gotta do some weird kinky shit to make money sometimes. I climbed up a damn rope, okay?
Yeah.
But, like, climbing rope and stuff, like, in, like, PE or whatever.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Well, I've been a dumbass, and nobody ever... No one tells you that you shouldn't just let go at the top to slide down.
Oh my god.
That was me, and it hurt. It fucking hurt my hands. And I can't believe there was even a time when I could climb up a rope, to be honest.
We're like old now.
I'm like, oh, look at that.
This is my rascal scooter.
Am I gonna land right? Help if only I can't get up.
Not my hover round.
I will get to my refrigerator. I'm gonna rev up my hover round. Does that have remote start? Oh my god. Does it come with propane and propane accessories?
No, I feel you though. The decapitations, the little bit of gore in the film was really good.
I liked it. I thought it was unique. It just like literally made me think of my mother, which is weird to say, but just follow the advice and don't put your arms or anything outside of a car window. Like, are you looking to lose?
It's like you go out for a day at the beach, come back Lieutenant Dan.
You don't get your VA benefits. You don't even get a hat. You don't even get the story on the fucking public bus. Yeah. All right? You're just sad and limbless. You know what? I don't want that.
No.
If you have your limbs now, follow my advice. Don't stick them out your car fucking windows.
Yeah. It's true. This has been a PSA.
My mom literally was really good at like instilling anxiety that the second you do it, you're lost. Your arm is lost. Just like suddenly an object is going to just take it right off.
Yeah.
It's gone.
Out of nowhere, it just manifests and
You're welcome.
Yeah.
But so anyway, I thought it had really beautiful lighting. The cinematography was really on point for the movie. I have a few gripes, and that's more on the technical side of the storyline. I feel like the context clues were not really noticeable. They didn't really, like, make them readable. And you know what? I would say that about Ari Aster overall, is that, like, when he has context clues, it's fucking written down somewhere in this shit. And honestly, you can't read it.
I love it.
It's hard to read.
I love it. I felt like, okay, so
I'm not going to pause the fucking movie to become a goddamn photographic detective and be like, okay, now where do I find my micro penis on this page? Like, come on, man.
I feel like in Midsommar, it, you know, was much more in your face and obvious, you know? I was different. I actually saw Hereditary after Midsommar. So, like, with Midsommar, I knew, okay, like, all the tapestries mean something, all the artwork means something, and, like, realized the type of director that he is. So, like, I knew to look for that shit in Hereditary from the very, very, very beginning. But I do agree to the extent that, like, okay, so in Hereditary, you know, automatically you see the dollhouses and stuff, and you're like, okay, obviously these have meaning. But not as much meaning as you would think.
Right. It doesn't really truly give you all the context clues.
It doesn't. And so you have to piece them together. So it's like the writing on the wall, like the words, the incantations and the words. Okay, but like no one, unless you stop the movie or walk out of the theater or pull your phone out and start Googling shit, you would have no fucking idea what that even meant. And then, you know, the storyline, when Toni Collette's character Annie is in the self-help group, and then she tells, like, the backstory to her mother and whatnot. It kind of gives you a couple clues, you know, language such as, I gave her, you know, I gave Charlie to her, and she got her hooks in her, okay? And then her brother killed himself because he kept thinking that their mother was putting, like, demons into him.
Was that the very first scene? Was her at the support group?
Not the very, 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 very first scene, but the very first time she went to the support group.
Can you describe the very first scene?
In the entire movie?
Yes. When it starts, how would you say it starts? Would you say they start the movie in the middle or the very beginning?
In the very beginning, when the grandmother dies.
I would say that's not actually technically in the middle of the story or the beginning of the story.
Well, as far as, no, the story started like 20 years, like 16 years before, or 13 years before, excuse me, when they put Paimon, the demon, into Charlie, basically in the womb.
See, that's my problem. Is that it literally speaking, it's kind of hard to digest because they start off at grandma's fucking funeral. We don't, kind of cool place to start, different from a lot of different like rules and stuff, but I think it discombobulates the story a little bit, and I think it throws it off a notch to start right there.
I actually disagree. I think that it absolutely could have started at grandma's funeral. And I think that it still could have been the exact same movie. I feel like he could have given us a couple more context clues, or not even that, but like explained the entire thing a little bit better at the end so that it felt cohesive.
You know what? Ari Aster has a fucking problem, and you know what? He does kind of overfixate on people's expressions sometimes.
I love it.
I love it when it's purposeful. But if you end up, like, diluting your storyline because you want to focus on somebody twisting their face in sadness a little bit too long, you're kind of ruining the point. It makes it harder for the viewer to digest the fucking ending. Because it's just, like, becomes regurgitated out. And you're like, okay, now I'm, like, being left here perplexed.
Yeah.
And I have to go fucking rewatch it again. Oh, God damn it! I fucking missed this goddamn one page in the library when he was sitting at the fucking thing. You know what I mean? Like,
so no, I entirely missed that entire context clue and explanation for everything else.
Yeah, it becomes a flash moment of like, oh, well, I'm sorry you weren't. It's meant to make the viewer look fucking stupid. It makes you feel stupid, period. Like, I'm sorry. This is America, okay? I'm watching a movie. I'm watching the movie. What about the hearing impaired? What about people who read subtitles?
What about the handy capable?
What about the people who only have a pinky?
Right.
And are cursed by the universe with the last name Sexton.
It's true.
Sexy Sexton.
Bless her heart. May she rest in peace. She's dead.
Hey, at least she has her pinky for her husband, though.
I guess so.
Pinky swears mean more.
So, yeah, no, I do get what you're saying. I just think that I like it. I like the Easter egg. I like the hunt. I like multiple watches to try to piece it all together and whatnot. I actually really love that, personally. I think it's interesting.
I like it. I've always loved it. I've always been a huge fan of, like, indie films and, like, you know, that you kind of feel like you're being
deceived.
No, but seriously, though, like, I literally feel like it kind of sideswiped me. I don't like it in that sense. In that regard, like, I love the idea of it being factually based on a fiction, you know, of, like, mythology, like, demonology and stuff like that. I did pick up on that with the wording, the Latin phrases.
And the sigil, too. Like, the sigil that was on the grandmother's necklace that was, you know, throughout the entire thing.
I feel, though, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm sorry. I really feel that there are just some things that bring out the occult a little bit better, visually speaking. And I think that he could have enhanced that feeling a little bit better. Because I love the aesthetic of the occult, you know. And I think that when it comes to the occult rituals and stuff, like, I think that Ryan Murphy did a really fucking magnificent job of that feeling in Coven. And
yeah. But I think, I wonder if Ari Aster was trying to make it, I think I read somewhere where he wanted it to almost be, like, confused for mental illness.
I'm sorry, Suspiria. To a certain
point.
Suspiria, Dario Argento?
The original or the remake?
Both. Did a fucking phenomenal job of making you feel like you, like, whatever they're doing is, like, legitimately the fucking occult.
Yeah.
And I feel like he kind of missed that mark in this movie, to be honest with you.
Well, that was purposeful. He wanted you to actually consider that it could have possibly been just mental illness throughout most of the movie.
Is it his mental illness? Because, like, as a viewer, I don't want to, like...
I liked it. I thought that part didn't bother me at all. I just feel like it could have become a little bit more cohesive at the end. See, like, the difference in tone is I feel like Midsommar was cohesive in tone from the beginning to the fucking end.
Yes.
Very cohesive. I feel like Hereditary for me was like the building of the best orgasm in the entire world. And then all of a sudden you're reaching climax. It's like, what? And then it just fizzles out. It's kind of like, oh, no. That was a disappointment. All this build up. And then I came, but like, it wasn't as like great of a climax as I had hoped. I liked it. I liked Hereditary. I think the acting, Toni Collette deserves an absolute fucking Oscar for like her performance in that. Just like the primal devastation, depression, anxiety. It was just heart-wrenching, really.
So is Ari Aster going to make another movie with a fucking a little pointy house in it? I want to know if the next movie is going to, and he's going to start connecting all the characters to their pointy fucking houses and like the red.
Maybe.
What color is the next little pointy house?
Their regular house wasn't pointy.
No, but nobody lived in the other house either.
What, in Midsommar?
Yes.
That was the temple.
Yeah. And so is this little tree house.
Of sorts, yeah.
Yeah, so what's his deal with fucking pointy temples?
And see, like, I feel like I learned so much from his interviews as far as, like, talking about his film. So, like, with Hereditary, right? Like, the demon, like, the little girl, Charlie, mm-hmm. right? Because Charlie was actually Paimon all along, basically from the womb. Hence the... And, you know, being different and whatnot. Apparently the grandmother got her hooks on her and transferred the demon as a temporary vessel in Charlie when she was born. So Charlie, and they even mention it, is always sleeping in the treehouse. I mean, you meet her first night, right? Like, first, like, one or a couple, like, two, three scenes. She's, they wake her up in the morning and she slept in the treehouse. And, like, the reasoning why he did that is that it was colder there. And so at different points throughout the movie, you know, it's really cold there. It's really cold there. Because,
seriously?
Yeah, because coldness is associated with, you know, in possession films and ghost films, the presence of ghosts and demons and so forth, like supernatural presence. So, like,
who started that anyway?
I don't know. So every time in any, you know, horror movie and you're like, it's cold here, there's a ghost. So the treehouse all along was going to be the temple slash...
Yeah, I just feel like he has a style. Mm-hmm. Look, he went from a small-time director doing two short films to suddenly he landed...
A24.
Yeah, to A24. He found an amazing cinematographer.
Oh my god, the cinematograph. It's like actual cinema, like photography porn.
It actually feels like Dario Argento to me. The centered shots... And how he turns the fucking camera upside down.
And then corrects it.
Yes.
Like a long sweeping upside down shot and then it self-corrects.
As someone's passing and an overhead shot. And same with The Road. Then he did it in Midsommar.
And also, I've noticed too that on the very first scene, he likes to open movies with really uncomfortable music. Loud, uncomfortable, booming music.
Like, he has a similar soundtrack to Dario Argento. When you listen to it in surround sound, it'll change your mind. I feel like he does. In a way that he uses the music, the same song over and over throughout the entire movie, like the same kind of bass line.
Well, he only did that in Hereditary. He had very similar music to suit the tone of Midsommar, but he did have in Hereditary this, like, creeping bass line. And, you know, having a massive sound system, there were, like, creaks and clicks and stuff, too, in the soundtrack that people may not have gotten if they saw it in theaters that were very prevalent, just, like, at random.
What I really did appreciate was... Her acting, right? The main character. I saw her in United States of Terror, and she was fucking incredible in that, and I feel like she deserved this role. Mm-hmm. She was made for this role. And what's her deal with DID? Like,
I don't know.
But all I can imagine her saying, though, throughout it was like, my name's Buck, and I like the fuck.
I see Buck. Every time I see her, I can't help but see Buck. Because so funny.
I know. But you know what? I didn't actually envision her as anything other than what she was in this movie.
She completely sold it.
She sold me. But you know what fucking pissed me off was when that little fucker, decided to take his, like, little kid sister to a fucking party and she gets decapitated and he just acts like nothing fucking happened.
Yeah, that was, like, one of the most, like, inconsistent, unbelievable. I know that in any film, for the most part, especially horror, we're supposed to have, like, some level of suspension of disbelief, but I feel like no one in any scenario where even if they would be going through that level of shock would just come inside and be like, okay, well, I'm just gonna go to bed and leave my decapitated sister's body in the back seat and just kind of...
And just, he left her head behind and everything, like, most people kind of... It was obvious that he had a cell phone. It showed that he had a cell phone because his mom called while he was at the party, and he ignored her calls.
Yeah.
I'm sure that went over well. Also, the reaction of the parents when he came home, they heard them come home, didn't really match up because it was obvious that he had parents use siblings as a way to fucking keep other siblings in fucking check. Mm-hmm. Knowing that if you take your little sister's gonna fucking narc on you if you're being a dick shit and you're fucking, you know, boozing it up or something like that. I mean, it's just how, you know, micromanaging of parenting goes. So you can still have your freedom, you gotta bite the fucking bullet too, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, it was just so unbelievable that they came home after they didn't take their mother's phone calls and the mom's like, good, they're home. Like, dude, like, for real, you know how most people's parents would react if you didn't
answer? My mom would have been like...
World War III.
Yeah. And fight. But I don't know. I mean, I've had a lot of friends too who had siblings. And like, if we got home, you know, like, I spent the night at a friend's house and whatnot. And like, they just, yeah, we heard you come in. Like, a lot of parents, I think, to not be hover rounds, literally, in helicopters. Just like, okay, we hear them. Yeah. Like, I hear them come in. That means they're alive. So if something happened, we would have been told. But alas, he does not tell. And he just goes to bed and lets her body rot in the car overnight.
Dude, but, like, let's keep it fucking real. Moms know when shit goes down to their little crotch drop lanes. Like, I don't know. Most mothers have an intuition. She seems like if she's able to, oh no, I just feel like she would have fucking.
But furthermore, how much did she care? Because she knew that there would be drinking there. She knew. Remember, like in their conversation?
Yeah.
And she was like, well, I didn't ask. And she pretty much insinuated that she knew that there'd be drinking. And she's just no drinking. So she knowingly and willingly let her 13-year-old child be driven to a party that she didn't want to go to with her 16-year-old son, who she obviously knows smokes weed and knows there'll be alcohol there. So not exactly mother of the fucking year on her part either.
Well, okay. You're kind of missing the fact that she kind of soaked her children in fucking paint thinner and lit the match. She lit the fucking match, dude.
Yeah.
I know the bitch is saying that she was sleepwalking, but then, come on. And then she's like, I never wanted to be your mom. I love how when she says it, she's covering her mouth.
That was, yeah.
Like, she couldn't believe what she was fucking saying.
Yeah. But well, it was just a dream, but.
But yeah. Even though it was a dream, you know it's true.
Yeah, I don't think she wanted to be a mom. And there's actually speculation, too, that people are speculating, I think in a deleted scene, maybe, that her husband was actually, because he's a psychiatrist, mm-hmm. that it was actually, like, a patient-doctor relationship. And that's actually how they got married.
That's kind of like Harley Quinn and the Joker.
Yeah.
But, it was weird, okay? Let me be the only person to probably think this way. But every time I looked at her husband, I felt like they didn't belong together. Like, he was too old. Like, he had this, like, too much of a bookish look to be with her. Like, it just didn't seem to fit. Like, I don't know, maybe, just the casting was off to me on that one.
It was passable for me.
I didn't believe it. I was like, he belongs in a fucking library.
Yeah, he was a psychiatrist, and she was an artist.
They didn't really point it out.
No, that's why it was in a deleted scene, though, I think. They didn't include that, which would have made... I don't know. Their match wasn't that off the wall to me. It actually felt like, okay, that could be it.
But usually there's, like, oh, no. I kind of like to know a little bit... Oh, no. I know it seems odd, but I wish that they had not left so much unsaid about their relationship. He was just, like, so displeased about her the entire time.
He was, like, borderline disgusted. Now, the one thing I did find that kind of, like, unbelievable about the movie as a whole is that he's supposedly a psychiatrist, right? Like, and his family is falling apart, going through all this grief and trauma. Because at its core, this movie is about, like, generational grief, yes. right? And trauma. How, you know, one generation of trauma can be passed down and blah, 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 blah. Which is actually pretty, you know, it's actually pretty, you know, brilliant. Why didn't he do anything? Like, above anyone, like, I know that, like, he should have had the tools to be able to facilitate, like, some sort of family intervention or discussion or...
Or say something nice, because he was not nice at any fucking point, really. He didn't even act like he wanted to be with her. Like, after the daughter died, I was like... You know, he's like, yeah, let's go to bed. And I'm like, dude, you're never going to get laid again. And he didn't even, oh no. He just didn't seem like, that's what made it so unbelievable that they're even together. I thought it was actually relatively important considering that they had a fucking kid together and they lost that kid together.
Yeah.
And he has, like, a wife,
mm-hmm.
right? Who has a weird history, spotty history with
sleepwalking and almost killing people.
And her mother. Yeah. Her mother, like, their relationship was spotty, and then she ended up living with them for the very last, like, ends of her life and died and was a cunt, basically, and had, like, severe mental issues and lost it, and dementia and everything else.
I don't know. I feel like her character building was pretty great. Like, mm-hmm. they fleshed her out pretty solidly.
His just didn't exist.
His didn't exist at all.
That's what bothered me.
Yeah, his didn't really exist at all.
I know that, you know, in a lot of movies that they'll have, like, this kind of, like, feel like it's not necessary to really, like, have, like, detail behind it, save time, blah, blah, blah. Well, Ari Aster could have taken a moment to stop focusing on faces so much in this movie in particular and given him just a tiny bit. Just a tiny bit would go a long way with him, I think. And that's all you need sometimes. To kind of drive the storyline. I mean, maybe I'm just being a freak show and I, like, have a different perspective than what most people would agree with, but...
No, I feel like they could have done a little bit better with him. Overall, though, I think that it didn't bother me. It didn't detract terribly from the movie for me at all.
I think that he could have been kind of a vehicle for some of the context clues, though, because he's almost an outsider from her perspective.
Yeah, completely.
And same with Peter, but they didn't take advantage of the other perspectives in the movie to give you, like, tiny context clues here and there.
That could have been purposeful, though.
I like it being purposeful in that sense. I like guessing, but on the same note, I like to not be driven crazy on guessing something impossible. Some of it's impossible, because if you're doing it your first watch through, and you're not in the mood to fucking pause a movie, or you read subtitles like I do, I read subtitles. Like, I'm hearing impaired, but I'm not hearing impaired. I just really like to grasp the storyline and what they're saying, because sometimes I'll miss, like, tiny, like, you know, linking verbs and stuff, and I feel like it all kind of comes together, and it's really important for me, and I like that. And that way I can focus on the sounds more than their actual speaking. I don't know. I know it's fucking weird. Most people hate subtitles. People act like it's a fucking, like, I put a giant pimple on the fucking movie if I ever put them on. But I like watching foreign films and stuff, so I'm used to it, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like I grasp the storyline better. But anyway, if you watch subtitles, or if you are legitimately have hearing problems, you are not going to have a fun time with his movies trying to find his context clues, because you are going to be distracted by reading. You're not going to be looking deeply onto a page that someone's looking at, or a writing on a wall that's, like, tucked away.
Yeah.
You know?
See, I love that. I absolutely love that. And, you know, I've seen Midsommar.
But it's not good enough.
I've seen Midsommar 5 times now, and even on my 5th watch, I was still picking up shit.
Because you're still picking up shit because it's overly subtle. It doesn't really actually give you a true clue. I wouldn't even call it a clue at that point. It's just more like, okay, so how long ago did somebody use the bathroom based on this drying shit smear? Or based on the
it's
smell?
It's all relevant.
You can't smell it, though.
It's all relevant.
You can't smell it through the movie, okay? Just because you see a fly doesn't mean that someone's actually dead in the house. That's just kind of how it plays out, a lot of it. It's like, okay, so I want you to estimate the time and death based on this fly and its digestive tract. Like, you can't see that. You can't guess that.
I personally love it. I'm fine with the fact that, like, everything is so layered and so subtle. I fucking love it, personally. I'm fine with the fact that if I watch it and I miss 80% of it.
You know what I think? I think that you should go take your little MacBook Pro, get the fucking Starbucks, pretend you're writing a screenplay, and just drink it. Okay? And just look really sophisticated, because here's the thing, is that some things are just meant to drive people crazy. Like, that literally drove me fucking insane. It's like, give me a riddle.
Because you have OCD.
The thing is like, you gave me a riddle with not enough context clues.
That's why I said earlier that Midsommar, I think, is pretty cohesive with it and kind of in your face. Like, obviously, if there's a tapestry that has characters from the movie, like, looking like
them, that's our love story.
Like, cutting it, you know, borderline clitorectomy, the whole bit, you know, like, cutting her pubes, and I don't know. Like, I feel like Midsommar was much better with it than Hereditary. I feel like Hereditary just kind of gave you all of these random context clues without meaning. So, you know, when it said, like, Zazu Zazu or some shit, like, on the wall, scribbled in Hereditary, like, what are you going to do if you're sitting in the movie theater? Are you just going to whip out your phone in the middle of the movie theater and Google what the fuck that means? Or, you know, I mean, it's
it doesn't
like
mean
that
you're stupid if you don't know every little fucking thing, you know, in the world. It makes you smarter to want to look it up.
It's true. But as far as, like, adding to it, I think Hereditary, you know, I've seen it twice now and I picked up a bunch more little subtle clues and Easter eggs that were scattered throughout the movie. And I think it's brilliant and I fucking love it. I love multiple watches and picking up all these additional things, but I can see where it'd be frustrating kind of to, like, the first time viewer. It was more poorly done in Hereditary, because at the end, I don't think it was a cohesive ending. I feel like it was, like, slapdash, like, okay, climax, 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 and then all of a sudden you hear Joan's voice narrate, you know, kind of telling the story. We have blah, 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 and we have a viable male host. Hail King Paimon, the end. It's like, what?
Like, okay, here's the thing, right? I think it kind of reminds me, but not in the way that I'm, like, saying this. So let me try and, like, hash out what I'm trying to say. You know how in Martyrs, the ending of Martyrs leaves you guessing?
Yeah.
And that was the point of it?
Yeah.
Was leave you guessing? I feel like leaving you guessing at the end of this movie, there was no point to it.
No.
There was no fucking point. It's like... It's like, because I don't know how to, like, say this, but I think they kind of fucked it up, to be honest.
Well, I don't think anybody was guessing at that in this movie. Everybody knew that he was possessed, that he was now the demon, you know, and so forth. I mean, like, the ending is pretty open. It's not very open to interpretation. They tell you, like, he's been possessed by the demon. But it's all of the events that led to it happening that in the timeline of things that are unclear. Like, there are still people arguing on Reddit as far as the exact timeline of when he got possessed.
I kind of disagree. I only disagree because it was the shots... thoughtfully placed shots on the decapitation, like the two decapitated women of the family lineage and stuff. Mm-hmm. You still have, at that point, you don't know, like, you're still guessing. So you're trying, it becomes more than a context clue. It's supposed to solve the puzzle. And there's nothing at the end that actually truly solves the puzzle other than he's a fucking king.
Well, also, like, okay, so much of it, and this is what I know you hate about Ari Aster too, is that I would say that there's a little bit of research. Say, for example, like Midsommar, right? Like a lot of the symbolism of Norse and Swedish, you know, symbolisms, fairy tales, artwork, things like that.
Which is beautiful.
Requires you to look it up to understand the meaning of it. So same thing with Hereditary. So if you Google Paimon, he is actually in the Grimoire of Demons. He was subservient to Satan. He's like two or three, I think two under Satan or whatever, mm-hmm. in the kind of like the hierarchy or whatever. And he was basically the demon of mischief and knowledge. And because I read about it just to see. And so basically they describe him as having a feminine like face, but you know, it was a male demon. And his big thing was he collected heads. So he rode around and with a basket of three heads in a basket that had three heads in it.
Huh.
Hence the decapitation obsession.
Hmm.
So, but you would never fucking know that. Even the drawing that they show you in the book, like when Annie finds the book and shows her husband the book.
Again.
It showed him riding a horse or something. And
but it didn't have any, like... even Krampus had better context clues.
Yeah.
And Krampus is so straightforward, comedy, horror, like whatever, you know, simple shit. But based on mythology, based on history, based on tradition... When you do that, you kind of have to, like, you can't make your viewer look like a fucking bumbling idiot and make them feel that way. Because I kind of felt that way. I'm like, look, here's the thing, is that it doesn't necessarily make me, like, it doesn't make you a fucking super genius if you know about mythology or demonology. It doesn't make you a super genius. It just means that you know it. You're good, maybe you're, like, really good with history, whatever your deal is. I'm sorry I don't know about Paimon.
Well, prepare to also be extra mad because he was saying in an interview, he was discussing how... So also in the grimoire, right?
Mm-hmm.
The demon Paimon apparently was originally female. It was a goddess who was originally a goddess who actually ended up when she became a demon, turned male. Like full on went male. And this is the original like folklore, right? So female basically to male to be when she became a demon. And so Ari Aster picked Paimon specifically as kind of like a statement about the patriarchy and whatnot, about how, which I think is half-ass, to basically be like, you know, even in hell, you know, basically the patriarchy, you know, runs things.
Give
and
me
blah,
a
blah,
fucking
blah.
Break.
Yeah. And so I think that was kind of like a half-ass.
Fucking irrelevant.
Yeah.
I think it's so irrelevant, dude, because nobody... Honestly, that doesn't... I think that's kind of like... Look, it's a poor representation. It doesn't even fucking execute. It doesn't even do anything. It's not clean cut. You know? Look, I don't give a shit about him trying to make a statement. All right? I don't think that even work. My big gripe is that the little girl who, by the way... They perfectly casted an ugly child, all right? And I fucking hated this ugly child for taking the pigeon head because I think pigeons are amazing. Amazing because they get to sit on telephone poles all day and wires and shit on people. And, like, especially if you just had your car washed, they find your windshield. It's amazing. But, like, I didn't like it, per se.
But it makes sense. But you would know that as a viewer because they don't actually give you background story, even exactly. at the end of it, to pay Mon. So that was her thing, right? If you look now, after you, as a viewer, Googled some yes. shit and researched it, that's why she had her little tinkering station. That's why she made little idols with fucked up heads and beheaded little things. That's why all this shit. Like, right. And that's why I feel like Midsommar is so cohesive in all of it, because it kind of brings you, as a viewer, along with it. And even after repeated viewings of Midsommar, you know, I picked up on additional elements, but it all made sense. You never, without the power of fucking Google, would have known that about Paimon and the demons and a lot of the context clues and Hereditary. Like, unless you, you know, are Satanist, demonologist, fucking exorcist, like, you wouldn't know half the context clues that he gave you in Hereditary about the demon in particular.
Look, I'm not Courtney Love. I don't have a degree in demonology.
Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. It was supposed to be a punny. But, like, I just don't fucking... Look, and then the little girl's like, she wanted me to be a boy. And throughout the movie, it bothered me that she had said that. Now I'm like, okay, what is that supposed to mean? Why did this little girl...
Well, they did explain that at the very, very end. That they were waiting on a male... viable male.
Yes, they did explain that, but like I still didn't like,
but that even made no sense, right? You mean to tell me grandma was living with them? Grandma has been around since Charlie was a baby, like since, you know, she got pregnant with Charlie, right?
Mm-hmm.
She had no way of... Peter lived in the house too. She had no time or ability to transfer the demon into him in 13 years. Like, why?
Well, you also have to remember she went crazy in the end. She got, apparently, this old bitch got dementia. And she had DID. So we don't know how functional she was. And then that's kind of threw me off, right? She had DID, but yet she got into a fucking satanic cult and maintained that.
She had been in the cult her entire life.
Basically. Yeah, but most people who have DID don't really maintain shit.
They claimed she had DID. That was probably the cult and all that other, like, crazy shit.
Man, see, I have questions, and I know they're not going to be answered. That's fine.
They're not going to be. I'm a huge Ari Aster fan. I think that Hereditary was 85% great.
Whoever, did he write the script?
Yes.
Okay, I think that this was a learning process for him. This was obviously his first, like, production film. This was his first full-length movie.
But you know what? Even though this is his first movie, it's still better than 98% of other films that I've seen by other directors.
Yes.
That are lifelong directors.
You know, he did a really, like, for what he, well, he had, what, a $10 million budget.
Mm-hmm.
This movie made about $40 million, like $39 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good return.
Yeah.
Okay, he did well for it being his first full-length movie. He got very fucking lucky. I don't know who he fucked or what favor he pulled to get a fucking deal with A24, but he did it, and he found the perfect cinematographer for it, which suits A24's style.
Mm-hmm.
A24 has a style to me, okay? I love the cinematography in the movie. I think that sometimes some shots definitely built up anxiety.
I think all of it did. The way that it was shot so tightly. And in complete contrast, I would say, to Midsommar, that had, like, the wide sweeping shots, you know?
Yeah.
Lots of background. And Hereditary was, like, so claustrophobic for the most part.
Yes.
And it led you to believe that there would be a jump scare every, like, 20 seconds. And there wasn't until the one at the very, very end.
I never felt the jump scare really, like, happening, except for one point.
When she just, like, starts running at him.
I like that they put her in the corner.
That freaked me the fuck out.
That's, like, my big fear. I don't know why, like, it's been one of those things that kept me up at night.
That, you know, no movie's ever really, like, truly scared me to the point of, like, not being able to sleep. But I watched Hereditary for the first time at, like, 1 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon. It was bright and sunny and beautiful outside. And I actually hated it. I hated the movie. But, you know, a couple days later, it actually took a couple days to seep in to my head. And then I just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I was like, what the fuck? And then I started...
Why did you do this to me?
Yeah, it's going to take a couple days. And No,
you're not cool, man. That's fucked up. Why are you what do you think that sharing this with me was a good idea?
Because you don't think it's that scary.
Oh, really? You didn't think so?
No.
Uh-huh.
But,
uh-huh.
But yeah, so it took a couple days, and it just seeped in. And then I started having a problem sleeping, and then started thinking about her up in the corner, and then slept with a nightlight. And I'm a grown-ass woman sleeping with a nightlight, and over this movie that I actually hated the first time that I watched. So...
How did you protect yourself?
You can't. If there's a bitch up in the corner, there's like your ceiling, there's really not much that you can do.
I learned that hiding under the blankets did it for me.
That's always been so counterintuitive because it's like a train wreck. Like, if, let's just say there's a demon in the room and I would not go under the blanket because then I couldn't see it moving.
Oh no, I'm so sad. If that shit's going down, I'm gonna die. I don't wanna see what's coming.
Really?
Fuck that. Because, well, it's like, when I was little, like, I used to have this big fear, right? Because I have a huge fucking weird imagination, okay? And the corner of my room is always where it started. Always. And every time I'd get scared of the dark, I was always afraid that something was going to grab me. If I moved. For some reason. So I would hide under the blanket and I'd hold my breath.
I was the exact opposite. I would come completely out of my blanket and sit up. Like, I had to see. Like, I did not want any... I would turn the light on, and I wanted to see everything.
See, I was too scared to get out of my bed to go turn on the light. Oh, no, my thing was is that, like, if I didn't move or it could hear me breathing, it would go away.
Oh.
I wonder what some of the, like, listeners think about that, what they did as kids, like, when they were scared at night or something.
Yeah, what were you scared of as a kid?
What did you do when you were scared? That's what I want to know. Like, did you hide under the blanket? Did you just, like, get up, turn on the light? Did you go run into your parents' house? Did you yell for your mom? What was it? Oh, if you don't have parents, I'm sorry. Not trying to trigger that for some people. Yeah.
Trigger warning.
TW.
So, this discussion has been, you know, largely all over the place, but... Kind of just wanted to talk about Ari Aster. I mean, he has two films, and I asked Jackie to watch both of them, and so she did, back to back. But what did you think of Hereditary? What do you think about it in comparison to Midsommar? Which one is your favorite?
Me?
Or I'm just talking to the listeners.
Well, I wasn't listening. Good.
But in your opinion, Jackie, which movie did you like better?
Between Midsommar and Hereditary? Mm-hmm. I like both of them for different reasons. I think that, you know, I view him on his experience, I guess, too, of how he's, like, gotten into making full-size movies. I feel like Midsommar is visually fucking stunning. Similar cinematography style, for sure. I can see that. Really great. Color palette's perfect.
Both about cults, too.
Lighting's perfect. Yeah, both about cults. Both have a pointy, like, temple house. So I'm wondering if, like, Midsommar was meant to be his, like, second version of a refined movie. Or was it he's just trying to follow a formula that worked before that made a good return on his first movie? Because that return was better than Midsommar. He made more money on Hereditary.
I think people just, like, automatically assumed that Midsommar was going to be a ripoff of The Wicker Man.
And they were right. To a degree, they were right.
To a degree, yeah, I have to...
I'm sorry, but, like, here's the thing, okay? Is that let's put Midsommar aside. Let's talk about how Hereditary is one of those movies that had the worst fucking marketing known to mankind.
Well, it's A24 marketing.
I don't give a shit. I'm so tired of it. Like, I literally feel like I am, like, I feel like I'm being lured into a room. Promised, like, rainbows and unicorns, and I get there, and it's literally a fucking MML. All right? Like,
MML.
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 My motherfucking life being fucked over. Like, I just feel fucked over. Like, I paid money to see this. You go to a movie theater, you pay fucking... Dude, that shit's expensive nowadays. Like, yeah. I'm not trying to make myself look like a poor-ass motherfucker either, but it's expensive to see a goddamn movie for $20. You bring a date with you, it's like $40.
Yeah.
For two tickets. You're not including drinks. Or, like, sad mac and cheese.
Yeah.
Or the fact that, like, you know, you have to hear some asshole talk behind you and somebody's...
Or cough all over you.
Or sneeze and then, like, blow their nose. And it's like, there's always some guy saturated in Axe body spray. You know, or somebody's just wearing, like, really fragrant shit you don't want to smell. You just want to smell some fucking popcorn, maybe.
It's true.
But, like, I The Witch... A24, The Witch betrayed the fuck out of me. It was completely mismarketed. And then same with Hereditary, doesn't even look like what it was intended to be.
I was actually really shocked. What was so mind-blowing to me is that all of the marketing was centered around her. All of it. Every fucking scene in the trailer was about this girl. And the... Like, that was it. Every fucking thing. They made it to be like, this is the Charlie's movie. And then the bitch is killed off in the first 10 minutes.
You know what this reminds me of? Okay, so I was a big Spice Girl fan, and Spice World was about to hit the big screen, and they had trailers out for it. I didn't have enough money to go see it when I was a kid in theaters, but I bought the movie. And 98% of the scenes that were in the trailer were actually not in the movie for Spice World, and that's how I felt about the Witch and about Hereditary. And I just feel like it's mismarketed. It's like, it's a lie. It becomes a lie.
I had no idea that Hereditary was even a possession movie.
That's all I have to say. I'm going to just sit here and sigh.
I was pleasantly surprised with the marketing for Hereditary because I liked what it ended up being.
God bless Lizanne Soule, but she would sit here and argue saying that that's what you expect from A24 because she's in love with A24. But, like, I disagree. I think I've already disagreed with her on this one, but I disagree, and I'll continue to disagree.
You guys can fight it out next time.
Oh, I'll win. Until next time.
But yeah, I guess that's about it for Hereditary. For the next episode, we will follow it up with Midsommar.
And there can only be one.
And there can only be one.